Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Now we need to get serious. CSO people, as a rule, generally don't have a great sense of humor. Javon, I don't know. What, Javon? It's true. It's true, because you've got to take community security very, very seriously. But that said, it's your job to be quite serious about this stuff.
I don't think you survive this world if you don't have a great sense of humor.
It is true. It is true. Welcome to my world. But seriously, you obviously were alerted to this security concern from the United States Embassy. What happens when CSO gets this type of information?
So, Howard, we were actually notified very shortly before the embassy notice came out,
right,
by our contacts. So there's no doubt that South African authorities were already on this.
Okay, that's good to know.
So it is a good thing to know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the timeline is, and I know that the authorities have been working with the embassy for the last 24 hours, probably.
Okay,
more.
Because just to stop you there, that's been a concern from a lot of listeners. Yeah. Well, why are we hearing it from the Americans? Aren't the South Africans on it? But you confirming, in fact, that you were notified that the South Africans did know about it before it was announced.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's great.
I can't really answer for our government's communication tactics.
But it's just good to know that was the case.
And I think internally within the intelligence system in our country, maybe there isn't the greatest communication, because I think some elements did know about it and some didn't.
Okay.
But we're pretty confident that they definitely did know about it, and I'm pretty confident that they've been working on it for the last at least 24 hours.
And how serious a threat is this?
So this is a very, very serious threat. I don't think, and I know that we always say that when the Americans put things out, it's very sensationalistic, but they don't put something out like this using the wording that they use without having real credible information to say that there's something they're exceptionally concerned about. This is a kind of thing, and it's part of their protocol. I mean, it's a standard thing. They have a responsibility to American companies and American citizens. Mm-hmm. And they obviously felt that this was a real and imminent threat to American citizens and companies in the country. And they didn't put it out lightly. And you can see by the wording that they used, which is not the usual wording that they use, that this is something that they want people to take very, very clear.
I mean, they've even given a time frame and dates, you know, so that information must be fairly, accurate.
Absolutely, and I think they're reporting what they know and what they feel is necessary to report to get the right reaction from the necessary people, their own charges, and obviously South Africans. Having said that, I want to be very careful around them specifically mentioning a date. And we've seen historically that they may have mentioned the 29th, 30th. Those are the two dates that they really are concerned about. And I think we do need to focus on those dates. But it doesn't mean that it can't come earlier or it can't happen afterwards, especially since they put it out there.
Yeah, it's not like the terrorists, whoever these guys are, don't read this information as well. They're reading News 24 and getting information just as we are.
Yeah.
So what happens in a situation like this? Because does it mean it's moved forward, it moved back, it goes ahead? I mean, obviously, I don't know the terrorist protocol and handbook, but what does wisdom and experience tell us?
So experience tells us, and we've seen it a number of times in Europe specifically, but around the world, is when the terrorist groups have a plan and they're under pressure, they will often bring their attack plans forward, which may mean that the attack itself is maybe less competent, a little more messy, but it's still very effective.
Right.
And we've seen a number of incidences of that. The other thing they may decide to do is to delay it. So we're not ready to do this. Now we can see that the pressure is on, which also creates its complications, because when do they delay it to? Is it a day later? Is it a week later? Is it a month later? Is it a year later?
Right, of course.
So it changes the whole dynamic and adds a huge amount of pressure.
It's almost
to
worse
all the
in a
resources.
Way.
Yeah, well, God forbid it should actually, something should happen. But you're right. In a way, it adds a massive amount of pressure and it drains resources. So this is something that we have to be cognizant, both as an organization, as a security services, but most definitely at the as a community. I think everyone's focusing on, okay, so Saturday's a bad day and Sunday's going to be a bad day.
But I can go back
but
to
then
on
it's
Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, and there's a lot of talk about, you know, where this is happening and, you know, what the targets are, and it can only be this in public places. But once again, history has shown us that once a terrorist fails or doesn't quite achieve that one, two, or they do achieve it, but they manage to get away, they could very easily go into a secondary and tertiary target. We saw that in France with Charlie Hebdo. You know, the guy that attacked the hypercacher, the kosher supermarket, his target was not the kosher supermarket. His target was actually the largest Jewish school in France. And because of circumstances, he was stopped beforehand. Right. And it was really, it was by chance that he was stopped. They didn't even know who he was or what he was doing. Mm. A car accident with a police officer. And then he chose, I mean, thank God, terrible things happened, but it wasn't a big school that he got into.
It could have been worse.
Show that once they have committed to doing something, they're not going to be easily deterred. And if they can't hit their target, they could go somewhere else. Last thing I just want to say is that we have no information that this is aimed at the Jewish community.
I want to stop you there, because I want to come back to that. Right. I want to come back to the community aspect of it in just a minute. But and I'll definitely give you the opportunity to do that, because that's very important. But before we go there, I want to understand why South Africa. To what end does anybody achieve anything by blowing up a pride event or a whatever it would be? And there's a whole list of different events that people are concerned about, and it might be none of those. But any event in South Africa, why? Why South Africa? You probably are turning an enemy, creating an enemy from a country that's probably quite sympathetic of your cause in a way.
Yeah. I think firstly, they don't care about, I mean, there is this concept that, you know, if South Africa turns a blind eye and allows them to operate, they won't attack here. But we've seen that we saw that in Argentina, we saw that in the UK. And once they make their decision that the time is right to attack in that country, regardless of the country's policies, they will do so. So the ideology trumps everything. Number two, these are often local South Africans. Yes, they may be guided by foreigners, but they're local South Africans, and they want to push their agenda and their ideology at home to change their environment and create a better world for their people and their ideology.
Okay, so that makes sense to me.
So that's
an answer to me that kind of does make sense, because if you look at it otherwise, from an international perspective, it makes no sense.
Well, the one thing we've got to look at is Africa and Southern Africa has now become ISIS's hub. And I'm not saying it is ISIS or not ISIS. We have some, ideas of who it may or may not be. But I'm saying ISIS itself and many of the jihadi movements have now chosen Africa as their hub for expansion, for growth, for domination and ideological kind of expansion. And Southern Africa with Mozambique is a big issue there.
Yes, yes.
ISIS warned South Africa not to get involved in Mozambique.
Yeah, it did.
Thank God we didn't listen. Rightfully, we didn't listen.
Yeah.
But they may have now an agenda to go, okay, cool, we're going to show you. The other thing is South Africa is the economic hub of Africa. So now, if you're going to now dominate Africa and you have this infrastructure in South Africa, why not carry out an attack over here? And this isn't the first. I mean, we know the Tulsi twins are tried. Mm. We know the botanists, the husband and wife, the Saunders family. We know of the Virulam mosque attacks. These are all ISIS-linked events. We know of New Year's Eve 2020. That could have, if that had happened anywhere else in the world, it would have been front page newspapers. It didn't turn out that way. Mm. But it doesn't mean that they're not going to attempt.
Now let's talk about the threat to the Jewish community. Yeah. Is there a link? The fact that News 24 this morning listed Nick Rabinowitz, does that make it a Jewish thing? Is there any Jewish angle? Is my first question. And the second question is, should we be more concerned? We'll get to the third one later, which is going to be, what do we do about it?
So is there a Jewish angle? There is unfortunately always a Jewish angle. And I know that sounds very dramatic.
No,
but we understand that whether it's a right-wing, white supremacist fanatic or a radical jihadist, the Jews are high up on the agenda. We may not be primary targets. And we saw that in France. We saw that in Mumbai, India. We've seen that across the world. They go for other targets, but they make damn sure that they hit the Jewish community along the way. Does that mean that this is a direct attack, or there is going to be something, there could be something against the Jewish community? We have no information or intelligence that says it is aimed at the Jewish community. But maybe we are. No one knows what the target is. So possibly they may see a large Jewish event like a shul service on a Saturday as a crowd gathering. I don't think it's correct, but right, let's not right. try and put ourselves in their mind. We don't know what they're thinking. We can only, you know, try and defend against it.
Right.
So the Jewish community.
So the answer there the Jewish community is not targeted per se, but it is always relevant due to global factors.
So we don't know whether the Jewish community is targeted. We don't think it's got anything to do with the Jewish community, but we can't right. dismiss it either.
Okay.
And we need to put in protection plans that assume our responsibility is to assume that the Jewish community could be a target, and we need to protect them as if they were.
Okay, so whereas obviously it's not only Jews and friends of the Jewish community listening to the show, we do need to be cognizant of the fact that some people who might not like us are listening to the show as well. What can we do, and what has been put in place that you can talk about?
So we obviously are bolstering the security around the Jewish community immensely. We're going to, you know, a high level. We've got a very robust security system anyway in this country.
Blessed.
And, you know, once again, we say don't panic. We mean don't panic because there are structures and systems in place to ensure that if, God forbid, something happens, we can deal with it, but also that we have got things in place to prevent these things from happening in the first place. So it's really, really important to say that we aren't going from nothing to 100% and scrambling to put things in place. We have a huge organization. We have contacts with security companies and the authorities. They have assured us that they're going to be putting resources out as well. And, of course, there are many hundreds and thousands of volunteers that are going to be out there trained and ready to protect the community. So that's from our point of view, and I won't go into too much more detail on that. We're going to flood the community with security. As a precaution, once again, I'm saying this is because of the environment, not because we believe or we know that we are a specific target.
Talk to me about Shabbat.
Shabbat is...
Am I going to shul?
I think you should go to shul.
Oh, damn it. Howard,
I think you should not go to shul because you're such a personality.
Oh, is that
and
why?
And that may be you.
Look, but they'll never know who it was who fired that bullet because there's so many people.
we're monitoring to see what happens. I'm saying this isn't panic stations. We got enough warning.
Before,
we obviously have to start ramping things up. We have to look at tomorrow. We have to look at Saturday, Sunday, and the days into next week. But we still are monitoring and understanding what happens. Things may change over the next 24 hours. There are considerations that those shuls specifically in that area of Sandton, the Pride March, what we see as one of the primary targets, etc., that maybe they should change routine, start earlier, finish earlier. Maybe they are going to be, if we get information, maybe some of them shouldn't be operating. Maybe they shouldn't have Mincha Maariv at a later stage.
Right, right. So the shuls should be more vigilant.
Yes. So absolutely the shul should be more vigilant, and the community itself also needs to be vigilant. And this I say to shul goers, and I say to those who are not shul goers that are going to be going to the Halloween parties and the pride parades and things like that. It's your choice whether you go. I can tell you for a fact that I would tell my family not to go to big events. This is a very unique situation. It's a very specific warning. And I think I would tell my family this isn't the time. Go to something else. Do something. But now, don't go to these big events and things like that.
Right.
From a shul point of view, I think it's fine. And we'll make decisions around those shuls specifically in the area. From a community point of view, they have to be vigilant. They have to be aware that Beth Din is going to shoot me. But if you carry a cell phone, it's not a bad idea.
Look, let's not use the expression shoot you.
Okay. The Beth Din, we're not going to be happy with the statement because...
But you're not talking rabbinic. You're talking security.
I'm saying from a security point of view.
People must make their own religious decisions.
On you.
Right.
Have it available. Call in to the CSO control room if you need to. If you see something suspicious, if something happens, if you're aware of something, if you're uncomfortable about something, we're going to have resources on the ground. We can send people out to check it out. Rather be cautious and rather be safe than sorry.
What is the number?
The number is 086-18-0018. So 086-18-0018.
All right. That's important for people to know. And this is not a rabbinic decision. This is not a rabbinic recommendation, but Javon Greenblatt from CSO is saying if you can, if you're comfortable, take your cell phone with you just in case you see something that you can report in and you can make sure to communicate. So let's we are over time, unfortunately, but I think it's important. Just one final question before we summarize everything. The indications are that it's left wing, and in other words, Islamic side, not right or white supremacist.
So to tell you the truth, we don't know.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if they know. So let's not, and the truth is, whether it's Islamist or not, you can't have preconceived ideas of who's coming
right,
for you.
There,
yes. The white widow was not an Islamist. If she'd worn jeans and a t-shirt, you wouldn't have known the difference.
Right.
So we got to be very, very careful. The modus operandi is the same no matter who it is. They share each other's ideas. They share many of the ideologies. And the type of attack that would be carried out doesn't really make a massive difference between one or the other.
Right.
So yeah, we don't know. But also just don't have preconceived ideas. If you don't know something, someone, you don't feel comfortable with them at a time like this, close your gates, don't allow people into your facilities that you're not comfortable and don't know, and make sure that you have your security teams on duty. Those that are volunteers at schools and schools that sometimes miss their shifts.
Right.
This is not the time. Well, you should never miss your shifts.
The way he's looking
this is
at
not
me.
The time.
I'm actually very uncomfortable, right? I've got flat feet and asthma.
I wasn't looking
yes,
at you.
You
I was actually looking for luck because I'm saying something very controversial.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine.
But really, God, I think like as a community, we all need to come together. It's not just the security, the police, the CSO personnel that are going to stop something, God forbid it happens, from happening. It is a collective community effort. Everyone has to play their part and do their bit.
And Ansan says, a brilliant interview with seriousness and humor. I am actually elated at this security news because it means things are being handled. Javon Greenblatt, we are very, very blessed to have our security organizations, our community security organizations, keep doing the magical work that you do. And
thank you.
Let's hope that you get the support from everybody that we need to keep us all safe.